Welcome to another Carlin and Lode Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Sean, I bet you don't know what the subject today is going to be about.
I bet I do.
Yeah, gambling in sport.
I was right. I should have put some money on it.
You should have. How much would have you won?
Well, what were the odds?
2-1.
Well, I could have, it depends how much money I put out. I would have doubled my money then.
Look, I heard an amazing statistic yesterday. I was listening to the radio and they were talking about women's sport becoming more prolific. And as a consequence, betting in sport, 30% of women make up the market of that particular gambling situation with betting on sport.
It's certainly growing, isn't it? And I know, you know, my role here as a teacher, that even we are concerned about not just sports betting but gambling with younger kids. And, of course, back in the day, if you wanted to, you know, put a bit of money on something, what did you have to do? You had to go to the TAB, yeah. Or you knew a bookie. So whereas, of course, what's happened now is that you can just do it online. So we can grab our phone. We can anonymously put on whatever bets we want. It's easily done. You can lie about your age, all those type of things. So, of course, technology, which does make our life easier, in this case, it also makes gambling easier.
So am I allowed to lie about my age just so I'm younger?
Well, I guess so. That makes you feel better.
Of course it will. Look, one of my major concerns over recent years is when you watch the football, all these ads come up about gambling, and this is prime time for youngsters watching the game. So it's becoming normalised. It's becoming part of the culture for younger people to bet. And as a consequence of that, a lot of young people under the age of 18 actually bet.
They do. I was looking for stuff about, because we knew we were going to talk about this, and I wanted to get some statistics. And there's been a lot of stuff done on young people. Like New South Wales Office of Responsible Gambling did a survey. They're saying that there's, in their responses from their surveys, kids as young as 11
wow,
were gambling. 30% of the, and this was the age under 18 were surveyed, 30% of those surveyed had bet money. And so that's, of course, illegal because you can't bet until you're 18. But the thing that really hit me was that they're saying a majority of...
Just put this in perspective, 30%.
Of those surveyed. Now, so you've got to look at all stats and go, but that's 30% is a pretty large number of kids under 18, isn't it? And what you're saying is true. Like, we are bombarded now. It's become normalized. And I think that is an important point because, again, back in the day, people gambled, of course. People always have, but it was much harder to do. And now it's much easier. But the thing they're saying is that a lot of these kids who were gambling or betting did it with
a
guardian,
yeah,
or a parent or a grandparent. And so they were saying there's a strong link if you have a responsible adult in your life, responsible, that's interesting, but then you're more likely to gamble if they gamble. So that's an interesting thing. But and they were saying, and what you're going on with dads, 46% of the people under 18 said, of course, that they had seen ads within the last week of that survey. Part of that survey, it just said students, and I don't know if this meant like
university.
What age, university, but 75% of students had gambled.
75%?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, look, I know that Australia is a nation of gamblers. You know, we go back, you know, your Melbourne Cup and your two up and all this type of stuff is part of our culture. You know, when we have Anzac Day, you know, they all do the two up and that we're famous for that. And, of course, Melbourne Cup, the nation stops and everyone sort of gets on the, you know, has a bet on the horse. And, you know, that's part of it, but it's got a lot worse. It's got out of control.
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you say these things happen and in our society, like we'll say, hey, drugs are bad, don't do it. But then things like alcohol and caffeine and other drugs that we consider socially acceptable, that's okay. And gambling, of course, we'd say, hey, Melbourne Cup is just around the corner. I don't gamble at all, but I do put money on sweeps, maybe, you know, $4 or $5. That's a bit of fun. So, but can you have one and not the other? I guess the problem is if we demonize all gambling, but we're talking about the fact that now it's so accessible, it's a massively increasing industry, it's so much easier, is it putting a lot of people at risk?
And, you know, there's a lot of young people that play those games, and a lot of those games are keyed into sort of like developing you as a gambler. They have you know, the bells and whistles, and they use like money that's sort of pretend money.
Exactly. And that's what one of this stuff I was reading about. A lot of the games that kids are playing do have some type of gambling betting type platform in it. And of course, the problem is that then saying to kids, we're actually grooming you in a sense to become a gambler down the track. And of course, kids using phones now is just second nature to them, and so it's very easy then. And if I'm doing that, and I'm already very attached to my technology, and I'm being bombarded, as you said, and like I love watching sport on my streaming companies that I use. I won't mention who they are, but every ad that comes on. There's a gambling ad constantly.
Yeah.
And so if a lot of kids watch sport, of course, with their parents or on their own, and so you put all those things together and you think, have we got this perfect storm where we are going to have issues with – we already have them, but is it going to get worse?
Look, I've seen this this game where you collect cards for in this case, baseball, and to get some of the money to buy some of the cards, et cetera, you watch ads, and all these ads are about gambling, all that type of stuff. So these are for, you know, a lot of kids go on these types of things, and they've been brainwashed into thinking, you know, if you want to get anywhere in this world, you've got to gamble.
Yeah, and all games have these bits where you can get loot now. And so, again, but you've got a – it's a gambling process because you might get great loot or you might get nothing. And so you've got to work out how much will I put in, will I do this, will I do that. So there's still this idea of getting something back. I put something in and I get more back in return. And that's there's a risk, isn't there? I could end up with nothing or I could win big. And, of course, that's what – when we talk about problem gambling – people think I can win big. And so one of the issues, of course, is, and looking again at the stats, one of the biggest issues, of course, is people saying actually betting more money than they can afford to.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about some of the stats and you gave me some incredible figures about how much $1,000.
Well, this was from HILDA survey, 2017 the data's from. So it's a few years out, but that's the household income labour dynamic in Australia. So it's a big survey that gets information from households. In 2017, they're saying 500,000 people regularly place bets. And so, and out of that group, 88% were men between the age of 18 and 49. So that's some of the demographics. But this sort of hit me. The typical monthly betting of those people, $1,000 a month.
$1,000. You know, some people just earn that a month.
I know, unless you think $1,000 a month, $579 million a year. Now, and it's saying here 41% of those regular sports bettors, and this was about sports betting, and keep in mind when people talk about gambling or betting, you can have things like going to the casino, playing the pokies. Lotto is, of course, playing the lotto is a big thing. So this is just sports betting, so it's one part of that market. Out of 41% of the regular sports bettors, so that's 234,000, quarter of a million people, experience one or more problems with their gambling. So that's a fair big chunk. The other interesting thing was that I thought they're saying 46 cents in every dollar, which is put on through betting, is from a regular sports bettor with a moderate to severe gambling problem. Wow. So half of the money coming into the market is from people who are vulnerable and have a gambling problem.
Well, I suppose people get a little bit desperate sometimes, and if they can't get work, especially nowadays with the way the pandemic sort of affected sort of opportunities, they probably see that as a really good thing. Now, I know a relative of mine who, when she was older, she went down and played the pokies all the time, and she'd always tell you about she won $200, but she never told you the time she lost $500. And the insidious thing about gambling is they will tell you about their winnings, but they don't tell you about their losses.
And that's what people focus on, isn't it? And so often you remember the big wins or bigger wins because it's a number that registers in your brain and it's exciting. But if you're putting in whatever, and back in the day, again, you actually had to put in coins. Now, of course, things can be on cards and you can swipe a card. And so keeping track of how much you're spending can be much harder. Like Melbourne Cup, for example, last year, $221.6 million
dollars
That was for betting. That was 17% up on the previous year of 2019. Now, I mean, last year with COVID, did that make a difference? I don't know. But overall, in the spring carnival, $6,670.3 million was gambled in terms of the Melbourne Cup. Wow. And so that's the spring carnival. So, again, that's something that, you know, that comes up. It's around the corner. And, of course, that's what Australians love, as you mentioned before. It's a part of the year that people really look forward to.
You know, I see gambling and gambling advertising as taking the place of tobacco advertising. Tobacco used to be everywhere, you know, Benson and Hedges, cricket cup, everything. It used to escort cup for the football. It used to be all about the cigarettes. But then they banned it. They made it illegal. So what I've noticed is that this gambling is the one that's been taking over. Gambling's the big thing that they advertise. It's insidious. I hate sitting down and watching a game of footy, even the SNFL footy where it's on there. They start talking about, you know, you got these are your odds and you can bet on this goal and you can get your money back if this happens. And you know, it's really tempting the way they do it.
It is, and that's the promotion of the online betting now is so exciting, isn't it? And the language that they're using, risk-free, no-brainer, money-back guarantee, is like, okay. And then the ads are really like most of the ads are a bunch of blokes. And, of course, as you mentioned before, there's more women involved now, so they do have that. But I would say they're still pushing as a demographic, 88% are men, so that's obviously what the market is going to push towards. You got a bunch of blokes typically at a pub, having a great time with their mates. Who wouldn't want to do that? We all want to do that, yeah? And then, of course, and some of them are really exciting ads. You've got there's that one I remember, they've got the racehorses, the car, all these sporting stuff going on, and they all end up at the pub. and so it is linked around that sort of you're going to have a great night, you're going to have a few beers with your mates, and you're going to win some bucks.
Isn't it funny how they connect it to alcohol? Because they used to do that with the cigarette smoking as well. And it's all about mateship. It's all about our culture, and they're trying to make it part of our culture. And whereas, you know, I will concede that gambling is part of our culture, but it's, like I said, it's traditions. It's your Melbourne Cup, and it's your two-ups, et cetera, et cetera. But, and there's always been problems with gambling, you know, forever, but the percentages are so much more nowadays.
Well, that's the hard thing. And, like, globally, $179.3 billion
wow.
was spent on betting / gambling, and that's all categories. So, and that's growing. Like, it's the growth rate in that market is it's not exponential, but it's a very rapid rise. And so you start to see now, like, it's, and if you've got a captive audience, so you and I are talking about it, we're not gamblers, so we can sit here and go, oh, we can demonize and say we shouldn't do this, and we know that there are issues for people gambling. That's well documented, but. And there are some voices out there in society that are saying, hey, we need to do something about it. But it doesn't seem to me that the major sporting groups are doing anything about it.
Well, they're taking them on board as sponsors now. Well,
they are. They're major sponsors. Like, even I don't do footy tips anymore, but a few years ago I do my footy tips, and at the end, oh, if you bet this, you could win this. And I'm like, I can't even do my footy tip. I mean, that in the sense, is that gambling? Like, and it's all linked, isn't it? Like the dream team, the fantasy football, all that sort of stuff. It's all sort of linked in there somehow. And it is a way of attracting people and getting them involved in that high-level sport, isn't it? And that's what they want. If you've got a greater interest, you've got a bigger group of people watching with greater investment, they want to know the results of the game. They're going to watch more on TV or streaming. They want to find all this information, of course, and the more you know, maybe then the better your betting will be.
Well, you know, famously in 1919, the Chicago White Sox threw the World Series because gamblers got into them, and they forever were known as the Black Sox. They were all banned by the commissioner. And then, of course, Pete Rose, who's had more hits than anyone else in the history of Major League Baseball, and he was managing the Cincinnati Reds, and he was betting. He wasn't betting against his own team. He was just betting. And he got a lifetime ban, can't go to the Hall of Fame. Yet now I see Major League Baseball have embraced gambling as a major sponsor too.
I know. I think it's out of hand, and I'm worried about the impact it's having on younger people that I see and know, because you and I are talking about it in a negative way, and I think that's fair enough. There are positives of all this stuff, so you can't take that out of the equation. But I think it's going to get to a point, as you mentioned, where people like us talking about it in a negative way, people will frown upon that and go, what's your problem? And the problem is it's a huge market, millions of people are involved, and there's a lot of people that got some issues. And, you know, we need to keep that in mind and make sure that people look after themselves.
Let's revisit this in a couple of months' time, because it's a very interesting subject, and it'll be good if we can get someone to interview someone that sort of has a bit of knowledge in this regard.
Yeah, someone who gambles?
Well, not necessarily. Maybe someone that sort of is trying to help people that gamble. Yeah. So, it's another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.